been battling the good fight of going against the sins of Easter candy, okay? My wife has me on a diet sometimes, and I like to call it dirty keto, you know, because I'm supposed to be eating vegetables and meat only, but I feel like a chocolate bunny is like close to rabbit meat. So, you know, we're trying our best. See, I want to draw back to what happened last week. I want us to draw back right now to Easter. This morning, I want to talk about the fact that as we move on the calendar, moving past Easter Sunday, there's something important to recognize. I want to talk about that something changed with Jesus in the empty tomb, and I think it's pretty huge. Now, many of you might be thinking, listen, Pastor, I've heard this sermon before, okay? I know what has changed since Easter, since that first Easter, since the cross. What's changed is our salvation. Now that Christ has died, we may have new life because he has defeated sin and death. And you're like, listen, we got to get to Wendy's. Let's get on, right? Or some of you might be saying, listen, I know what he's going to do this morning. We're going to be talking about the mission. That's what changed. Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission. That's what's changed, Pastor. That's what you want to talk about, right? Go and make disciples. Those are two things that have changed, yes. But this morning, I want to talk about something right in between these two things that I think has changed. And it's this: holiness. In light of the cross, in light of Easter, holiness has changed forever. See, throughout the Bible, a call to holiness is given to us from God. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. Peter is quoting God himself in the Old Testament book of Leviticus. And so this call to holiness, this call to be holy, is not new. But something changed with Jesus when it comes to our holiness. Something changed with the empty tomb, and it has to do with our connection to God's holiness. God's holiness in the Bible, if we think about it for a second, it's just this. It was God's perfection, God's divinity. The fact that God is different than anything or anyone else. God is wholly unique in that God is the creator of all things. A helpful way to look at God's holiness is to use the sun as a metaphor. See, the sun is unique within our solar system. The sun is powerful. The sun is the source of life for everything on our planet. So in a way, the sun is holy. It's unique. It's powerful. It's the source of life. And with this metaphor, we can go even a little further to recognize that the area around the sun is holy, because as you get closer to the sun, the intensity and the holiness of the sun picks up. This same power that is holy and unique, this same power that gives life, is also dangerous. See, in the Old Testament, to enter into God's presence not ready, or to get close to God's literal presence, could lead to death, because God's holiness was dangerous to impure things. One of the first moments of God's holiness or presence is with Moses in the burning bush. In Exodus chapter 3, God appears to Moses and he says this: do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. See, at this, Moses covers his face and is afraid because he immediately understands that God's holiness is both good and dangerous. But here's the point, friends, this morning. Not that God's holiness is dangerous because it's bad, but rather because it's so good. We see throughout the Bible that we must be careful around the holiness of God's literal presence. That is why we find throughout the Bible people becoming afraid when an angel appears to them or God appears to them. because they, every time that something so good is really close to them, they are not always ready or right with God. Because we know as Christians today, in light of the cross, we know as Christians today, just like they knew in the Bible, they had the same knowledge of what was happening with God's presence. And it is this, what Jesus defeated on the cross, our sin, our evil at times, our idolatry towards ourselves, thinking that we know better than God, that original sin that is found in us sometimes when we disobey God's word and his commands, sadly, that is not fully gone. Our holiness is not the same as God's because we know that sin is still among us. And that is why today I want us to look together at God's presence and the light of the cross, because here's what it is. God's presence changed our holiness. God's presence changed our holiness. Before we dig into the Bible study of God's presence through the Old Testament all the way to Jesus and what did change, what happened, it's important to understand the holiness before Christ. See, the holiness of the Old Testament before Christ had a huge emphasis on being clean, and specifically ritually clean. See, to be holy was to stay away from unclean or impure things that were related to death, such as diseased skin, or dead bodies, or even bodily fluids. And see, the point wasn't that if you came in contact with those things that you would be forever unholy, unless you happen to be someone who had diseased skin. But rather, it's not that you'd be unholy forever, but rather you would want to stay clear of God's holy, good presence until you made yourself holy and clean again. So before Jesus, impure things and holy, before Jesus, holiness came with the belief that impure things made holy things impure. And so that is the direction that things went before Jesus. And now let's take a look at God's presence throughout the Bible. And we're going to get a little bit fun here because we're just going to get into it right now. We're going to go a little further from the burning bush. And we're going to get to Exodus 19. And we find God's presence now on Mount Sinai. And again, God has just saved his people from Pharaoh. And now his presence will appear before all the Israelites. Because in Exodus 3, it was just the burning bush and Moses. But now, in front of all of Israel, God tells Moses to tell the Israelites this. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. So brothers and sisters, I want us to take a note before we move on in the story. From the beginning, God was looking for a people, not for a person, not for a grandparent, not for a spouse. God was looking for a people, and specifically a holy people. See, we'll see in just a moment, but you can't just always look at so-and-so and say, they're holy for me. The other thing before we move on is I just want us to notice how simple it is. For some of us, we might be new to the church this morning, or we might be getting back into it. But for many of us, we have a history of holiness. We have a history, and things come to mind when we think about the idea of holiness. And so for some of us, we're thinking about rules and ideas, and there's just such an expanse of what could be meant when we talk about holiness. But just to be clear, just take note. In the beginning, when God was saying, I want a kingdom of priests, I want a holy nation, holiness was simply this: obey God and keep his covenant. But then, as we go on to verse 13, God tells Moses this: only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast may they approach the mountain. Now see, let's just be clear about the context real quick. So the Israelites have just watched God save them from Pharaoh's oppression. They've seen miracles, they've seen plagues, they've even seen the parting of the Red Sea. And now they can see God's presence up on this mountain. That is the context of where we are in Scripture right now. And God has told them they may approach the mountain. Emphasis on they. Let's see what happens. On the morning of the third day, there was a thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. Just to kind of help you along, we're going to see a lot of smoke. We're going to see a lot of wind. We're going to see a lot of fire as we go through this Bible study together. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. As the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered. This experience was apparently too much for the Israelites, because here's what happens next. When the people saw the thunder and the lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, here it is, speak to us yourself and we will listen. Do not have God speak to us or we will die. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. Even in this moment, Moses knew, listen, my people, just go to the mountain. Do not fear. Get to God's presence, and God's literal presence will make you holy. God's presence will change you, and he will keep you from sinning. But here's what happened. Verse 21, the people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. What was supposed to be for a people became for a few. From this point, God's holiness or God's presence was limited to the people, and therefore their holiness was also limited. See, God's hope was for a holy nation, for a kingdom of priests, not just a kingdom with priests. But thankfully, God's hope for us did not go away. Amen? And so we went from the bush to the mountain. And now as we do this study of God's presence in the Holy Scripture, the Bible, we see now that since the people would not come to God, he would have to come to them. So God gave Moses the specifications for a tabernacle, a tent. A tent that God's presence would reside in. And when they had finished building the tabernacle, it says here, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Immediately after this verse, there was either a cloud over the tent by day or a cloud over the tent by night with a fire in it. God was with the people in a real and tangible way. God's presence literally led them as they were on the move towards a promised land. See, God's presence in the tent did these two things. It gave the Israelites power, but again, it was dangerous because his holiness was so good, and because the people stayed at a distance and they didn't go to the mountain, it was only for a few who were made ritually clean or right to enter God's presence. So at this point, only the priests had access to the presence of God. See, it's great that Moses and Aaron's sons, the Levitical priests, it was great that they would represent the Israelites before God's presence, but it was not the hope or the plan God had in the beginning. Next, we move on. If you know the story, God's presence now goes to the temple. The same is true of the temple in Jerusalem. King Solomon built the first temple of God. The Hebrew word for temple is hekal, meaning great palace or great house or great hall. See, this was not the church. The temple was not the church. It was not the synagogue. It was literally where God resided. It was the great house of God. And see, all of this was in worship to the fact that, you know, they had been a nomadic people on the move. And King David even says in scripture that, you know, he sees the presence of God, the literal presence of God in a tent while he is in a palace. And so the temple was made. And of course, God's presence was there in all the same fashion. Here's what it said. It happened that when the priests came from the holy place and put the ark into that temple for the first time, the cloud filled the house of the Lord. In a similar parallel verse of the same moment, now when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering, and the sacrifices and the glory of the Lord filled the house. So here again, there is fire, there is wind, there is the cloud of God's presence. And all some of you might be saying, why does this all matter? How is this connected to what happened last week in Easter? Why do you want me to know about God's presence and how it went from a bush to the mountain to the ark and the tent to the temple? Well, here's why. Because it tells us about God's heart and character. God has always wanted to be with his people. When God shows up, people know and things change. And finally, knowing this history, friends, knowing this history shows us how God was at work right after the cross. See, on Mount Sinai, the people were called to come into God's presence, but because they did not approach, we see that God's presence became limited for hundreds of years. God's presence was for a select few. God's presence was with the people, but separate. There were walls, there were curtains, there were rules between us and God's presence, us and God's holiness. But then Jesus came. And Jesus started to say some pretty crazy things. He said things like, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me. And you can just hear some of the people, no, the Spirit of the Lord's down the street in the temple. Jesus started to say some crazy things like that. Crazy things started to be said about him. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Or how about this one from the God in heaven? This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Or this is one of my favorites. Jesus said, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. And we know, friends, because in 3 days, the tomb was empty. See, then Jesus came and he changed everything. This is how God's presence changed our holiness. Jesus was the new and greater temple. Jesus was the embodiment of God's presence among us. After that first Easter, God's presence was poured out on us. Are you with me? We've been moving this whole time together. Are you with me, friends? From the bush to the tent to the temple to Jesus and now to us. Here's what happened. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind. There it is. There's the wind again. Came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire. There it is. His holy presence in fire again that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. See, when Jesus died and rose again, the curtain was torn in the temple. The rules changed. Our holiness now has forever changed. So yes, because of Easter, yes, our salvation has changed. It has come. Yes, we have a mission. But right in there, right in the middle, our holiness has changed. That day in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit was given to us. The disciples spoke in languages they did not know about. They did not know about the good news of Jesus Christ. That day, 3,000 people were saved and baptized in the name of Jesus because God was no longer in the temple. Friends, the cross looks different when you know the story. Easter has so much more for us than the question of whether you are going to heaven or hell. The presence of God is upon us. The presence of God is upon you if you claim and say you are a follower of Jesus Christ. We are the temple. We are the dwelling place of God. God is calling you to the mountain, to his presence today. So yes, Jesus saves. Yes, Jesus has a mission for us. But before we go too farther away from Easter, we are the new temple, which means God's presence has changed your holiness. But the challenge for this morning is this: do you believe you are the temple? Have you approached the mountain like God wanted in Exodus 19? Or for some of us, maybe. Or have you been like the people in Exodus 19 saying, "You go for me, Moses"? Maybe it's a grandparent in your life. Maybe it's a spouse that has been carrying all the water of your spiritual, of your family's spiritual health. And maybe the Holy Spirit's convicting you right now because you know that you have stayed at a distance. That's the goal for this morning, friends. That's what God has put on my heart. Do you know you are a temple? And if you do, have you been staying at a distance from God? Before we end, remember in the Old Testament, before Jesus, holiness before Jesus was stay clean because impure things made us impure. So impurity could infect holy things in the Old Testament. It was a get right before you get close to God kind of holiness. But I've got one more kind of nerdy, exciting biblical reference that I'm excited to tell you guys about. Before we end. In Ezekiel 47, so I'm not going to read to you, but go check it out, Ezekiel 47 later. There's this vision of the temple. And in this vision, the prophet Ezekiel sees water starting to trickle out of the temple. And as it trickles, it begins to pool, and it starts to have deep ponds, and finally the water becomes this great river. And all throughout the desert, as the river flows in this vision, life starts to spring up. Plants, animals, trees. Life is coming to this desert. And it says in this vision from Ezekiel that the fruit will be for food and the leaves for healing. So this vision shows us in the future that no longer will the temple be something that holds God's holiness in. No longer will holiness be defined by becoming or staying clean so as to be with God, but rather God's holiness will go out from the temple. And God's holiness will make things whole. God's holiness, as it comes out like a life-giving river, will make things pure, will bring things back to life. And so now, after the cross, this is what happens. After Jesus, God's holiness in us starts to go out and starts to make impure things holy and pure and made new again. This is one of the things that changed, friends. No longer do we have to walk around being nervous that that's an impure thing, it's going to get us. Instead, now, because of the cross of Christ, we now get to start walking around and start making things new in the name of Jesus Christ. Does this sound like someone you may have heard of before? The leper was touched and healed. It wasn't that the unholiness of the leprosy was coming towards Jesus. No, Jesus was coming towards the leper. The woman with chronic bleeding was made whole by just touching the cloth of Jesus. The girl who was dead was brought back to life because Jesus took her hand. He was not trying to get away from impure or deadly things. He was going and making them new. Because here's the thing. Jesus was and is this new vision of a new temple where God's holiness poured out like a life-giving river. See, Jesus walked around and touched things and made things new everywhere he went, and God's holiness poured out from him. And so now I need to apologize, because no longer can we claim, as we leave here this morning, ignorance. Because on April 11th, 2021, if it's the first time you've ever heard of this idea that you are a temple to the Most Holy God, hear it today. I apologize. You can no longer have ignorance to the fact that you are a part of the vision of Ezekiel 47. Because here's what Jesus said about us. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. As I said, some of you have a history with holiness, and maybe you're a little bit nervous about it. Maybe it's a very lofty idea, or if you're a little nervous, because listen, Pastor, if you knew my life, holiness is not something that's in it. Holiness is not something that I'm defined by, but here's the deal. He is a good shepherd. And it says, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. But then here's what happened. Verse 38. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of water will flow from within them. We are a part of this new vision in this new temple. So our holiness should be something we care about, something we pray for, something we understand we need help with from God. But more than anything, our holiness comes from God. This sermon was about preaching the truth about God's presence and God's holiness and how it changed in light of Easter and who you are because of it. A living, walking, talking temple of the Most Holy God. But as we end this morning, I want to give you something to walk away with for your own holiness. So as I freely admit, this talk has been about God's holiness and God's presence and how it changed us, how his presence changes us. But I want to give you something to walk away with for your own holiness. And many of you know, or if you don't, our church is from the holiness tradition. The Church of God comes from a holiness tradition and is considered a holiness church. And in the beginning days of the movement of the Church of God, there were four basic tenets for a church that was forming and being built around the idea to be holy before God. And so I want to give you these four ideas that if you're sitting here saying, Pastor, I need some guidance. What do I do with this? Here are four things that in the beginning days of the Church of God, they said, this is what will help you be holy. And so if you want to be holy, make the Bible your foundation for your faith. Not the latest author, not your favorite evangelists, make the Bible the foundation for your faith if you want to be holy. Number two, make your faith experiential. In the beginning days of the Church of God, they recognized that to be holy, you need to experience God for yourself. There are so many sermons and so much things to say about this principle, but basically it falls right in line with today's message. Don't get caught saying, I'll let that person go to the mountain for me. I'll let that person go and speak to God for me, and they'll bring back a little bit of that holiness, and maybe it will fall on me a little bit. See, to be holy is to seek God for yourself. To be holy is to make a decision for yourself. Number three, be a part of the one church of God. If you want to be holy, join the thing that God established in the first place. We didn't start this thing. Jesus is the one who established the church. Believe that you are a part of that one church. Believe that no matter what denomination or tradition you find with people, that if you believe in the name of Jesus Christ, we are family. We are the body of Christ. And finally, number four, believe God has a plan for your life. This is an interesting one because what it means is it's not that you're going to know the future. It's not that you're going to walk around and say, oh, God has a plan for me and I know exactly what it is. No, it's just believing in your heart that God does, in fact, have a plan for you. That God has people and moments and opportunities for you to be his temple. God has a destiny for his Holy Spirit to be used through you. This is a holiness attitude. So be holy and believe that God has made you into a walking, life-giving temple to his holiness. As the band leads us in this last song, I want to invite you to meet with God about your holiness and his presence in your life. Just like last week, the altars will be open. Feel free to come forward. But this week, if you come forward, it's going to be between you and God, one-on-one. Believe that God calls you to experience. God calls you to not just sit at the foot of the mountain. God calls you to his presence. The altars are open this morning, and no one will bother you if you want to come forward. However, I want to be clear. God will meet you in your pew. God will meet you wherever you are online. Whether you need to speak to God about what you've heard this morning or something totally different that is on your heart, God's presence is here and ready to change your holiness. Let's worship together in these next few moments and pray.
Jesus, the name above every other name.
Friends, God's presence has changed your holiness. Amen? As you go from here, walk, talk, breathe, laugh, and love as the temple to the most holy and good God. You are holy because of who is in you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Be with us. Help us to be the holy church that you've called us to be. Help us to be like your new temple. Everywhere we go, God, may your holiness pour out of us for your kingdom and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, have a great week, church. We'll see you next week.
Have a couple of quick announcements before we send you guys out. Just want to draw